Guru Nation, welcome to episode 819 of Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. In this episode, I tried something different. I went live with Diana Cabrera. She is an international medical graduate. She's a physician from Ecuador. She's actually been a coordinator in the United States, all over South Florida for the past 2.5 years. Actually, the past 3 years, going on four. CRC, CRC, CRC. She was also worked at a CRO for 9 months as a clinical operational assistant. She's really someone that is in need of a job right now. There's have been layoffs, and her last stint was with a site as a coordinator. It was a network of sites, and she's on here discussing her career, her passion for where tech meets sites, and we kind of go through the process of what she's been doing, what she's been looking at. I'm trying something new here to see, like, the job market's kind of sour right now for our industry, and I might go once a week or once every 2 weeks, just go live with people like Diana that are really good candidates that somebody needs to pick up. So hopefully find something of value here. Diana's LinkedIn's underneath. Also, Monica Cuitiva joined the show, my business partner with Save Our Sites, co-founder, Latinos in Clinical Research co-founder. She's a site owner herself and CRC Academy instructor who trained Diana in all her ways. Really quick shout out to the sponsors, Inato. Inato's a free place for you to get studies for your site. The last three studies I got for my site, Yuma Clinical Trials from Inato, free. They don't get involved in contracting a budget or anything. Link underneath. Check it out. I used to be a skeptic, no longer am. Also, shout out to our sponsor, Creo. It is the command central station for my site. We're really working on developing the recruitment portal, where we kind of put our patient leads and then we can target them. And it's really cool. It has auto texting reminders. It has e-signatures, of course, e-source, e-reg, CTMS, invoicing. They're always adding and innovating new things, and really proud to be involved with Creo as well. So check both of the sponsors out in the show notes. And with that being said, hope you enjoy this episode. And is it live, Guru Nation? We're live with Diana Cabrera and Monica Cuitiva, who's going to be the co-host as she has her chauffeur driving her around, because that's how Monica rolls. But she'll be in and out because she has spotty reception, obviously, being mobile. But Diana's here. Diana's from the CRC Academy, and she actually has experience as a coordinator over these past, what, 5 years or so? I think you started initially almost 5 years ago.
Yeah, almost 5 years. Yeah.
What was your first start in at the site level? Was it the coordinator role?
Yeah, actually, I had the privilege to start as a coordinator. Sometimes we don't believe we're going to start directly to that position, but in my case, it went like that, and it was incredible to apply all the knowledge from the academy there.
What was your background again, so people understand?
Well, I'm an international medical graduate from Ecuador, so that's
Perfect.
great.
People like sites love that. We just hired, I think we're done hiring coordinators for now. At Yuma Clinical Trials, we have five full time. We just hired our last one. And initially she was gonna be a admin, because I think our next hires are admins, who's calling patients, pre-screening, pre-qualifying, and then scheduling. But I saw a lot of potential in her, because so we made her a coordinator instead. But IMGs, it's like the ideal situation for a site. PIs love IMGs. The only thing is, the occasionally you get the ego with the IMG. But in your case, I've known you. I actually met you at the ACRP meetup. Thank you for coming out, by the way.
Thank you.
You were cold in California during this. It was almost summertime.
Absolutely. It was freezing. For me, it's freezing, you know?
I had to talk to you inside, but so you've already been a coordinator. Yeah, what were your experiences like as an IMG being a coordinator? Did the doctors ever properly utilize your skill set?
Well, they think it's a good act to bring this knowledge from our countries, you know, and actually it helped me a lot to understand better the protocols, the informed consents, guide the PIs much better. Is something that these skills helps a lot. And for as an international medical graduate, also having this interaction with people is incredible. So is when you want to feel you are in that, what you have been studying, you can be a coordinator and you will feel that hands-on. So it's great.
Did you ever, as a IMG coordinator, because you normally at sites, you have colleagues that are other coordinators. Not all of them are IMG. Actually, most of them are not. Did you ever find yourself teaching them stuff like, hey, you know what, this lab result, maybe AE of special interest, maybe this lab result, like this ECG reading, you know, this is what it possibly means. Did you ever find yourself in that situation? Even though you're not like allowed to practice in the US, you can still, research is like the perfect place to be able to utilize that skill set. I think in an environment where you still have a layer of supervision by the PI, but this is what makes like the IMG coordinators so attractive to sites. Did you ever get a chance to, or opportunities to use that skill set?
Yes, actually I like a lot to suggest, you know, try to suggest, it feels better to let them know that I think something is wrong. So there with their license, they can approve it. And on the other end, they also make me a feedback and I learn. So it is adds value to me also as a professional.
And so can you give us a walkthrough of your career as a CRC here in the US? Was it all in Florida, I'm imagining?
Yes, so I started in Florida. I'm still in Florida. Willing to move if it is necessary, if I get a good opportunity to jump in and explore new development, career development. And I started as a clinical research coordinator in a site. Then I had the privilege to go to the CRO site, CRO part perspective, really valuable to me to see another type of things, of assessments. And then I returned to the site perspective again. So that has been like my path through clinical research. A lot of things I've been learning in the different places I have been, licenses, knowledge, neurological knowledge, multidisciplinary knowledge, you know, because that's the way we are trained in the academy, to wear different type of hats, positions, try to help other departments, regulatory departments or in the labs. So it has been really, really valuable as a clinical research coordinator, all this experience I have got.
And we have the CR from the undisclosed location, the CRC Academy instructor, Monica Quitiva, being driven around by her chauffeur. So thank you so much for coming on, Monica. Whoa, Raul. People know him. His next academy is the MC Academy. That's Raul Gonzalez, everyone. How's it going, Monica? You saw Diana, like you got to teach her during the course. You saw a lot of potential in her. It was no surprise to you. And then you let me know as well, because I remember talking to Diana then about getting her first job. Like, she got it really quickly, actually.
Yeah. Diana is amazing. She started the academy while she was abroad. And by the time she got to Miami or to Florida, in 28 days, exactly, I remember. She got a job.
I remember doing that podcast with her.
Yeah, that's how determined she is. So not just that, but obviously she's always learning new things. She's always trying to get ahead. So for me, it's no surprise that she got a job very quick. And in addition to that, getting the experience and all of that was, I mean, she got everything super quick. Obviously, she's a doctor. And like I always tell the IMGs, a doctor is a doctor no matter where you study. And that's a huge plus in her CV. But for me, obviously that's a very important part, but her biggest asset is her determination and how smart she is.
So what are you doing right now, Diana? What kind of roles are you applying for? What is the job market like? Are you trying the site level? Because the site level I see is still busy. You know, we had CRA Academy students yesterday at my site in Yuma. And we went on LinkedIn. I taught them how to go on LinkedIn and look, email this person. That person literally had a hashtag on their face saying hiring. And then she replied back and said, yeah, we're hiring in like a month or two at our site. So what are you finding in Miami as far as sites? Or are you even looking for sites? What kind of roles are you looking for and applying to? And what's been your experiences so far?
Well, I'm trying to make a jump. I believe, and I feel that it's time to make a jump. It will be really interesting to get into a CRA position or a clinical trial assistant position or an IT informatics specialist related to vendors, you know, this type of vendors you use in trials. Mm-hmm. So I'm open and willing to explore a new opportunity and a career development. So that is what I'm focusing on my research right now.
You should consider, and maybe, I mean, I think you already are based on what I know about you, but these tech companies, so like Viva, Creo, those are the sponsors, and Nato, I know they're possibly hiring with site level experience, people with site level experience, which is what you have. And you also have some programming, so you're doing some kind of stuff with AI. I mean, what can you tell us more about this kind of skill set you're developing? Or Monica told me about this at the after party, but I was already a couple beers in, so you know, didn't register well.
Yeah, actually, here in Florida, they are fomenting a lot to make a lot of learn a lot regards artificial intelligence, but basically on applied artificial intelligence. So to use the knowledge we gain in school and apply it in our daily day basic work, trying to make the process go smoothly and better. That is the objective of why I'm learning right now. So it is applying those tools we have in the market to what we do in research. That is my objective. And it's incredible.
Have you had any interviews yet? Like how long have you been trying? I'm trying to get a gauge, and then we're trying to see what we can do differently. And then if anyone's watching or watching on the replay, you know, we'll have Diana's link to her LinkedIn underneath. But it's one of the things I'm going to try to do more on this show is like during the bad job markets is feature more people that I think are deserving of some attention and some opportunities. So have you actually been interviewed by anyone, and what's been the feedback, or what have been your experiences so far?
Well, yes, I have been applying a lot, very actively, every day, nights, and I've been contacted, but they have not confirmed or offered something. So I'm continue actively moving to get that opportunity.
I wanted to ask something. Dan, for example, for like, I mean, obviously for an IMG with knowledge or an experience in clinical research, like tech vendors, positions, isn't that like data scientist one of those positions
It's one of those, data scientist, but I mean, these tech vendors have so many different roles. The people that I tend to talk to more, probably because I'm who they're trying to sell to, but it's site-centric side. Like, usually it's like solutions for sites, and they like, if I'm a site, if you're trying to sell me Creo, right, Monica, and I'm a site and you've never worked at a site, that, you know, you're, they're not going to put you to talk to me. They want someone who has been a coordinator, preferably. Like, they don't want a high level person that's just been negotiating budgets. They want like someone screening patients, randomizing patients, someone doing the dirty work at the site to talk to me, like to show me why this is a good idea for my site. So I've been noticing they've been hiring a lot of people, like Viva is hiring. They really want that site experience. And once you're in these companies, you're right, the big, like the bigger roles, there's always opportunity to move. I know people that came for, like in Viva, that go from the site vault, which is the e-reg, to the EDC product. You know, they move around within. And then once you're in there, you can go as deep as you want on the rabbit hole, depending on what that company offers. But typically what like the entry level at these companies is like site solutions focused. So it's not even like, you don't need a huge knowledge. It's good to have all that AI and programming background, because once you're in that company, you can move on, especially a big one like Viva, which I don't know if you considered Viva, Diana.
No, I haven't, but I will.
Yeah, I will. Bree Burks. I'll connect you to Bree Burks. She's going to possibly hate me for this, but have you worked with like e-regulatory or anything like this at the sites, or was everything paper?
No, there was a sponsor that has everything on a cloud, on a spot. Yeah.
So you've got the experience. And how was your experience with that? The honest truth, not what Viva wants to hear.
Interesting. Hear. Challenging. Because we are accustomed to work on paper. That is the reality. But when you have everything online, try to search, you know, it's a challenge. But at the end, it's the best.
By the time Diana was in the academy, she was, we still do give the students the link to watch the demo for Viva Vault. So, I mean, and it's available for anybody, right? Anyone can actually go and take a look at Viva's demo for regulatory for sites.
And we've in the CRA Academy, because we needed it, like we used to do the scenarios, like the EDC, you're a CRA, you need to find queries. Bioclinica was for 10 years our EDC vendor, and they got acquired and it became something else, and I lost touch with the people there. But we reached out to Creo because Creo was developing their own EDC, and Creo is letting us use it now for CRA Academy. So there's probably ways we can also incorporate that into the CRC Academy too. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Monica about it, but they have their own certificates and training portals too. So this is like the digital revolution is here, you know, and I think like this is where sites are meeting. Like Monica, your site, you guys use everything?
Right now we're transitioning everything we only have one study in paper and the other ones are now electronic.
Yeah, us too. But you like labs, you still print them and sign them and upload?
Yes.
Yeah, us too. But eventually that's going to go away also. Like Creo already has and Viva already has where you can sign things just on the portal without printing. But RPIs are like old school. You know, they like the... Mm-hmm. But that's coming. I mean, I think like roughly half of the sites are using something, and then the other half are using paper. But that's where these tech vendors come in and say, you know what, Diana, it's good you're looking for a jump. You've worked at the site, you've been a coordinator at looks like three different sites on your profile. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
What was your experiences at each of those sites? Without, you don't have to name them unless you want to, but what was your experiences at those sites? Like, what did you actually learn? The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Oh, okay, so in every place I have been, I have learned, but a lot. So from being a coordinator, a entry-level coordinator, to having more confidence with myself, with my knowledge, then getting more managing skills, overseeing people and then getting some radar skills. That had been like my latest skills I got, you know. So everything that we were speaking in the academy and this radar role also and licenses has been able to be part of my growth.
Wait, so, you've done psych studies?
We have been, no psych, it has been neurological studies.
Oh, so neuro, okay.
So I had to get some radar certificates license and do it. And it's very nice. I really enjoy them because I love interacting with people. So that is what I've been learning a lot and the positive things. Obviously, every site has its things, interesting things that should be improved, but that's the only point. So
what's the worst thing you've seen at a site without naming it? You've been at three, so no one's going to guess where. The worst. You're from Miami. It's got to be horrible.
Yeah, we know. We know, and FDA knows, you know.
FDA know. Wow. Maybe we don't want to touch this one.
So basically, that integrity is an interesting issue. It's real. It's real in Miami. That is real. I can say it. Yeah.
Give us a clue.
Terrible. You're terrible. So this will be my last word. Is trying to adapt values to get a participant in is something very, very important. And I don't negotiate that. So
I understand. Mm-hmm. I understand. I think we understand. there's some things that you can't do. You know, we actually had one of our findings yesterday. The students found it was for one study, you need a blood pressure underneath a certain level. I think it's over 160. It's exclusion, right, from the study. So we had a patient come in, but the patient came in two different days for a screening. And the first day he came in because he couldn't finish it all in one day. It was 164. So the PI said, we're going to finish your, the patient couldn't finish the whole visit anyways. So the PI said, well, when you come in next time to finish the visit, we'll do the blood pressure again. But our coordinators put both numbers in the source. So it's not like hiding, right? And then we randomized him because the second time it was lower. And the students found it and said, well, technically it's deviation. And then we brought it up to the monitor and it was a deviation, but it wasn't like a major one. But it was still, that's part of data integrity. But the fact is we put the right number too. We put both of them. So we're not trying to hide it. But it was very easy if we wanted to omit that first one. And this is the thing about Creo and eSource. You actually have to be more honest with eSource than with paper that a lot of people don't realize. I think a lot of people are actually scared of that because you can't delete that original reading. It's already in there. It's timestamped. You could add another one, which is what we did. But you can't delete. So Creo, like eSource, forces you to be more honest. I think there's more transparency. I think eReg too. I think it's natural why sponsors prefer it. But it could open a whole new can of worms. And we've seen that happen also with eDiaries, like ePros. With patients, like once you give a patient an e-diary and say, here you go home with it, we'll see you next week. I mean, they could put anything they want in there and they don't know what the study means. Like if you put this happens. So we've seen sites not paying attention to what the patients are putting and then they have a bunch of deviations. And we're just going to have to get better, I think, at sites, which... No one's talking about this issue, by the way. Nobody. Everyone's just saying, yeah, of course it's better. You don't need paper. You're going to save trees. You know, it's cleaner. But no one's talking about it could potentially be messier from the data integrity standpoint. That you obviously understand. And you don't want to speak more of, but I understand why.
But you know what, when you have knowledge, when you have been prepared, you are not afraid. you know what you have to do and what's the correct thing. So I believe that if you get this knowledge, as I got it from the academy, and every place I have been trying to use all the knowledge from the academia, from ACRP, you know, this has helped me a lot to make a better and a strong and more knowledgeable person and try to do things the way they should be without fear.
Yeah, I agree. So what's your application process like? What do you do? How do you find a role? How do you approach them, like specific tools? How do you do it? Like, just walk me through.
Okay, I have been working with two social media tools for job search. LinkedIn is my first choice, and then my second choice is Indeed. I have two types of resume. One that is a resume, very clear, and try to bullet the most I can and try to make it the more condensed possible. And the other one, an ATS-friendly resume. So when it passes through these devices, artificial intelligence devices or softwares, it can go through smoothly. And don't kick me out of the process immediately just because a word, they didn't match it. So that has been the way I've been working on these days to try to get a position.
That tells you how detailed she is.
So how did you make that second resume? What you just did it yourself, or you used what tool did you use?
Well, there are two ways. So you can get someone to make it for you, or you can get into Google and see how to make an ATS friendly resume and try.
What's that? What's ATS? What's ATS?
It's like an automatic version. It's like basically on format and information. So the way they like is to go like bullet and clear. You know, so when they, for example, you go to an institution and they want to fill your resume, fill that the information with your resume, with your PDF, for example, they can take this information from the PDF and like paste it directly to the platform. In that way, I have been seeing that it's better, because when you are using that type of ATS friendly resume, most of your information is already in the platform of the company. And it's easier, because sometimes what I feel is that, oh my God, it's too long the process, too much information, you know, and you don't want to continue. You try to go to the easy applications, you know? So, but having this format of resume is better and quicker. So it has been very, very helpful for me.
That's really interesting. I think you might have a side gig of helping people with resumes. Lucy Gilmore, who, do you know Lucy, by the way, Diana?
No.
She's a recruiter. Her and her husband, Lucy, I believe you're the right person, Huxley Morton, they run a big recruitment firm based out of the UK, but they serve the US like probably more than anywhere else. She's awesome. She has a TikTok for helping people get into the industry. She's a recruiter, so you should message her, because you have research experience already. That's kind of who they want to help. Like, I think the recruiters can help you at this point.
Yep.
Even though the best candidate for a recruiter is someone currently working somewhere else. But I think in your case, because of the IMG, because of the tech background, because of the research background, there's a lot of places that you can probably be like an asset for. This is one of the reasons why we're promoting you. One of the reasons why Monica said, you know what, Dan, like, let's do this podcast with Diana. So I know for a fact, whoever hires you is going to be super happy to have you there. And then they're going to have to work hard to keep you there.
Well, we forgot to mention something important, that this lady here speaks fluent English and fluent Spanish.
That's correct. What about, and you could be a medical monitor for a lot of studies, like a lot of, here's James. See, I got the right, I know this is Lucy. James is still a recruiter. I work full-time as a job search coach. Free resume template on my profile. Okay, so her, Lucy, and her husband. So James, I got to introduce you to James as well. And I'll message you.
We have to introduce here also to Lindsay.
Lindsay works for Day One Biopharma. I know way too much about that company. Don't ask me how, but she's amazing too.
Nice.
And that's a Bay Area company as well. I forgot to tell my students about that yesterday. They're from the Bay Area. I'll let Vanita and Sonia know. A lot of opportunity. You just have to know where to look. One of the things I observed with the students from yesterday, they were applying. You know, it seems like you're way more methodical in your applications. They were just applying, you know, clicking buttons and that's it. So when I told them, look, you got to look for the site. Well, they're different. They're looking for a site. You got to look for the site, then look on LinkedIn for who's in charge of that site. Mm-hmm. And within 5 minutes, I found one that I messaged like while we were ordering at the restaurant. And then 5 minutes later, the lady replied back. Wow. And said, yeah, have them send their resume here. So a lot of times it's just you have to go the extra step to be different and to be memorable for whomever it is you're reaching out to. Because everybody, like on Indeed, everybody's clicks Indeed, Indeed, Indeed. But how are you different from the other hundreds, you know, of people, or in some cases, thousands of people applying? You have to be a little bit different.
Correct.
That's, I think, really the key. So you're open to tech vendor, CRO, sponsor. I think the sponsors would be an interesting one for you. And the medical monitor angle is also really good, although they might have rules about the medical monitor needs to be based in a Latin American country. I think, well, actually, that's not true. Didn't we interview one from Monica? We interviewed someone from MAPS, from those psychedelic, the psychedelic CRO. And I can't remember the lady's name. They're also San Francisco based. And she's a IMG from Mexico, actually went the coordinator route, just like you. And now, through different ways, became a medical monitor for these psychedelic companies, which super like high growth area as well. Monica, you're doing some of these studies, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I am actually. I found a job opportunity for Diana there in, and it's also in the base, in the Bay.
And with MAPS or no?
No, it's not MAPS. It's another company that dedicates also to psychedelic studies.
Diana, you might need to move to, I know you think it's very cold, but you might need to move to California.
Yeah, I've been requested for that. Right now, at this moment, I'm thinking about it, you know.
just buy some sweaters, you'll be all right.
Let me think about it.
So you are open to moving then too. You prefer not to, but you are open to moving.
Yeah, so if it is an opportunity, sometimes in life you get opportunities that you cannot say no. And if that opportunity comes to me, I will definitely think about it. I will not say no. I will think about it for the better of my family and also for me as a professional. I want to continue growing. And if it is necessary to get out of what I am now, I'm able to if it's come the opportunity and the time. Yeah.
You worked at three sites, so you've probably learned, you know, we've talked about the good, bad, and the ugly. I'm sure there were elements from all those sites that are good to bring to, you know, any organization. I think CRO level, you understand, like, where to look at. I mean, I do think you could be a really good monitor. Did you ever do anything like quality assurance or anything similar to what a monitor does, but at the site?
Basically, as a coordinator, we do a double QC. I don't know if you implement that, but double QC after every visit, when it is already completed, there is a checklist at the end of the study. So it's one in the front and one in the back. And the one that the signs in the back is another coordinator that is going through all the visits and is aware and confirms that everything has been done as per protocol. So that's the type of quality cross QC that I have done.
Diana, I don't know if you, because I got here a little bit later than you guys. Did you mention that you also are a certified coordinator?
No.
You got your certification? Okay. She's a certified coordinator. And in addition to that, the first job she got was with an SMO. Then she got the CRO job, and then she got the regular site. So she has worked with three types of sites.
Yes. Mm.
Yes. Monica's your coach. Monica's your agent.
No, I know her career path from the beginning till now.
She's the basis of my fundaments. So I'm really appreciate her input, her knowledge, and also the friendship we have made with you, Dan, also always available to make international medical graduates continue growing this research side. That it's really valuable.
Yeah, Monica's helped so many people since the CRC Academy. I think right before COVID, we launched it. Monica's idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember it was Monica's idea, and I was like, all right, just do it. You know, and then Chris was more skeptical, like he usually is. But look like it worked out. So when's the next class, Monica? What? I don't even know. We have Jessica in the current class.
Yeah. We just started a class, and the next class is in July.
All right. Right around my birthday time. Jessica, my CRC, who does not want to be on videos. We just hired our last CRC named Jessica. She's an expert phlebotomist, guys. I mean, like, we hired her because of her blood draw skill, because we were doing like 5 visits a day, and some of them were tough blood draw. So we got tired of asking the clinic that we are to help, because sometimes they get busy and they get upset. So we hired her, and she has the potential to be a coordinator, but the way she flips through these tubes, it's like loading a magazine with bullets. Like, this girl with the tubes is like, I wish we could record it. She doesn't like videos. I keep begging her. She doesn't like it, but she's going to actually teach. She agreed to this, Monica. Nice. A bonus class on phlebotomy safety for the students.
Oh, and that's nice.
She's a phlebotomist instructor in her previous job. So, like, she's clearly the one to do this. She's awesome, too. Any blood draw? Well, you're an IMG, so of course you've done even surgeries and stuff.
Well, but in research, I have got the opportunity to make these skills better. And actually, it's very interesting. And I feel like I am a surgeon, you know, even though it's just... Yeah. Drawing blood, but for me, having that type of hands-on is very valuable. I know a lot of international medical graduates, a lot of healthcare professionals, if they feel they are at least doing this, they will feel very, very like value, you know?
And yeah.
I really like it. I enjoy a lot of research. It doesn't
happen. I remember one of our PIs in San Bernardino, like this was like 6 years ago, the coordinator was not there. And we had a really difficult blood draw, and the PI was there, and I asked the PI, hey, you're a doctor, you've done surgery, can you draw this blood? And she looked at me like I was asking her to launch a rocket, because she said, I haven't drawn blood in over 30 years. And she wouldn't know where to begin, you know? And I mean, it was hilarious. Like, these things you assume are like easy, but then you ask someone who can cut you up and remove organs to draw blood, and they're like, nah, you know, I don't know how. I don't know how. So it's like a very practical skill set that's very underrated, I think. Brad Hightower started as a phlebotomist.
My two coordinators were phlebotomists, and that's one of the skill set that drew my attention to them.
We got to feature your coordinators. Who did I meet them at the, was one of them at the meetup?
No, oh. No, but yeah, we have to.
Got to do videos with them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think this was decent. We're trying to help not just you, Diana, but others who are in your similar situation. I mean, You know, I think you have an advantage because you're, like Monica said, certified coordinator. Are you ACRP certified or what? What a certification?
ACRP certified. I'm going to be 1 year from wow. North California chapter.
Northern California chapter.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a pre all the companies we talked about so far are Bay
Area. Everything is leading you there for some reason. I guess the universe is speaking to you.
Good luck. Most expensive part of the country. Good luck.
Oh my God. Yes.
The Bay Area is the only place that makes Southern California look affordable. Is yeah. The Bay Area.
and New York.
Yeah. In New York, yeah. I remember I used to go to San Francisco every 4 to 6 weeks because I had a 3-year stint where I was like a part-time monitor, like a contract CRA. So every 4 to 6 weeks, I would go to UC San Francisco to monitor. And man, every time I came back to Orange County, I was like, wow, I'm so glad I'm in an affordable place. Like it's the Bay Area is a different world.
Yeah,
I'm telling you guys. But good luck. Hopefully people can learn a thing or two. Diana's very accessible too. So if you're someone that wants to get started and you want more advice, like reach out to her. And obviously if you're an employer or someone that, you know, is watching this and saying or listening and saying, you know what, I think this might be a good place for Diana, reach out to her. Her LinkedIn is underneath. And then our CRC Academy, if you're interested in that, Monica is the one that's running it. Along with me too, but she does really like 90% of the work there. Reach out to her. Anything else you guys want to end with?
Well, anything you need, also I'm available to help. And I do give 5 stars to the CRC Academy.
Oh, thank you.
We'll take it. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. And Monica, anything else?
No, I mean that for any company that is watching this video, this lady up here,
this one.
Is an excellent asset. Mm-hmm. And I'm not kidding. She's an excellent asset.
Yeah, I would say so too. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Somebody, you'll eventually get hired. How long have you been looking, actually? I didn't even ask.
So this week will be 1 month.
So okay.
To get the offers.
when you need a job, of course, every day is like matters. But what to an outsider, 1 month is like nothing.
Yeah. But the bill. Okay. So.
You got to get some interviews and look. I think Viva. I think Creo. I think Inato. Yeah. And I know people like. I'll introduce you. I've already introduced you to like one of those, but Yeah, let me do the other two because they do hire people with site experience specifically. And they are tech companies. They're technically tech companies.
Yeah.
All right, great. Cool. And then you don't need to move to Northern California with those ones. All right, everybody go connect with Diana. Her LinkedIn is underneath the video and in the show notes if you're listening. And same thing with Monica. Her LinkedIn is underneath as well. Like, subscribe, comment, share. When you get hired, we got to do a follow-up, okay?
For sure.
Oh, yes.
Same trio. We'll do a live. And this time will be advice for, you know, what the process was like, how you got it, if you're able to.
Sure. Count on me.
All right. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.